Noodle Soup for Nincompoops by Ellen Whitlinger. Everybody else in seventh grade honors English had groaned at the assignment, "I am a camera." But I thought it would be fun. 3 pages about anything your invisible camera noticed over the weekend. After spending most of Saturday at David Siegel's bar mitzvah and Sunday afternoon at the mall with Liza and Harper, it didn't take me long to write, "How to Flirt Without Showing Your Braces." Even Liza thought it was funny, and it was mostly about her. Actually, that's probably why she liked it. Liza was her own most favorite subject these days. I guess I notice things other kids don't. I like watching people. Most kids I know don't shut up long enough to notice anybody else. They're continually yelling and wiggling around, so they get noticed. David Siegel's bar mitzvah party was so loud, I saw 3 grown-ups popping ibuprofen before they even served lunch. Lisa, who'd been my best friend since birth, or possibly earlier, is always right in the middle of the action. I'm usually standing on the edge of the crowd, hoping not to be noticed. It always been that way, and neither of us ever minded. But now, according to Liza, I do way too much watching and not nearly enough flirting. Up until this year, neither of us had talked to boys. We agreed they were aliens. But ever since Harper showed up, Liza is suddenly all about the opposite sex. Who likes you takes up 3/4 of her conversation. When Mr. Crisman asked me to stay after class for a few minutes, I figured he wanted to talk to me about my essay. Mr. C is always complimenting me on my writing. Sure enough, he waved it in front of me and smiled. "Maggie, I knew you were a good writer," he said, "but I had no idea until now how funny you can be." Even if I did have braces, I'd smile at Mr. Crisman, who, in my opinion, is the best teacher at South Hadfield Middle School, and also really cute. "You're a natural writer. Why is it you've never written anything for the News Flash?" he asked me. Mr. C is the advisor for the school newspaper, the Weekly News Flash, and he's always trying to recruit kids to write stuff for it. I guess it's hard to fill 4 pages every week with sports scores, lunch menus, and articles about how much toilet paper gets stolen from the girls' bathroom. I shrugged. "I'm not that interested in writing facts. You know I like to make things up." He nodded. "Well, your essay gave me an idea. How would you like to write an advice column for the newspaper?" I had to laugh. What kind of advice could I give anybody? How to be invisible? Mr. C's smile disappeared. "Do you really think you're invisible?" I shrugged. "To most kids. I don't care, though. I think of you as a quiet, but certainly not invisible. Anyway, for this job, keeping a low profile is an asset." Mr. C motioned to me to sit down in the chair next to his desk. "Here's my idea. You wouldn't be writing a real advice column. It would be funny. Something to get more kids interested in reading the paper. To begin with, I'd write a few letters with silly questions, and you could come up with some funny answers. We'd tell kids that if they want to ask you questions, they could leave them in my box in the main office, and I can give them to you after class. That way, no one would ever know who you are." "You mean I wouldn't be answering the questions as Maggie Clooney? I'd make up a name? I'd be somebody else?" "That's right. Make up a name. You can name the whole column whatever you want, just so it's silly. I think if we set it up as humorous from the beginning, kids will get the idea and write you funny questions." The idea crept around in my mind. I could say anything I wanted to, as long as it wasn't Maggie Clooney. I'd have an alter ego, like Clark Kent and Superman. But wouldn't people find out it's me? Well, that's the thing. In order to keep it secret, you couldn't tell anybody, not even your best friends. I think the mystery aspect will add to the fun of it. Everybody will be guessing who it is. Mr. Crisman sat forward, his hands on his knees. So, what do you think? Interested?
Yeah, I am. Can I think about it overnight?
Sure. Meanwhile, I'll try my hand at a few letters in anticipation.
Why didn't anybody my age ever smile at me like Mr. C did?
Sometimes I felt like I must already be 30. I'd skipped right over the so-called best years of my life, right into elderly boredom. By the time I got back to my locker, Liza was sitting on the floor, her head drooping over her books, her long blonde streaked hair hiding her face. She looked up when she heard me coming.
Where have you been? Everybody left already. Robbie Pearsall's mother picked him up, and he asked me if I needed a ride home. But you weren't here.
Sorry, I was talking to Mr. Meadows about the geography test.
Ugh, geography.
She got to her feet and dusted off the butt of her low-rise jeans, then readjusted her shirt so her belly button peeked out. You aren't allowed to have your stomach bare in school, but Liza always wears that stretchy material you can pull down or push up, depending on the occasion. Why did you want a ride? I asked her, carefully changing the subject from my recent whereabouts. It only takes us 15 minutes to walk, and the weather's nice. Lisa sighed.
Maggie, I don't care about the ride. Robbie wanted me in his car. Don't you get it?
Oh, I hated it when Liza acted like I was the dumbest geek on earth.
Well, how was I supposed to know you liked Robbie Pearsall? I thought you were crazy about David Siegel.
You were yesterday. The turnover in Liza's boyfriends was hard to keep up with. She fell in love more often than most people brush their teeth.
I am. I don't think I even like Robbie, but maybe he likes me.
Now I'll never know. I don't see how one car ride would have proved anything, I grumbled.
That's because you just don't get stuff, Maggie. Honestly, sometimes you don't even seem like you're really 13.
I guess she hadn't heard the news that I was actually 30 in disguise. Well, sometimes you don't either, I said. Sometimes you seem like you're about 18. Lisa's pout turned up at the corners.
You really think so? Because of my hair?
She hooked her arm through mine and turned into my best friend again. Wait till you hear what David said to me after math today. How's this? I said, handing Mr. Crisman a sheet of paper. I'd been working on the idea since I left school the day before, and I was proud of the final product. Noodle Soup for Nincompoops by Faustina Intelligentsia. No questions too stupid to answer. He gave me this big full-teeth smile. You're going to do the column.
Do you like the name? I asked.
I love Faustina Intelligentsia. It's silly and pompous. Perfect for a humor column. But I'm not sure I get the noodle soup. I was trying to think of a name that would get people's attention. So I checked the paper to see what books were on the bestseller list. There were all these books for dummies and idiots, and then there were a couple of chicken soup books. So I thought I'd combine both of them. He threw back his hand and laughed, his brown hair falling in his face. If only there were boys like cool Mr. C. Noodle soup for nincompoops. It's great. You're going to be good at this, Maggie. I can tell already. He handed me some papers. Take a look at these and see if you can come up with funny answers. You don't have to do all of them, just two or three. And remember, don't let anyone see what you're doing.
If popularity at school had anything to do with how much teachers liked you, I'd have a posse. Unfortunately, it seemed to work the opposite way. Liza and Harper were both standing in the hallway when I came around the corner. As I said, Liza had been my friend forever, but Harper was a new addition. She was really Liza's friend more than mine, although I didn't hate her or anything. She hung around with more of the popular kids than Liza and I did. It was because of her we got invited to Dave Siegel's bar mitzvah. But sometimes I felt like Liza and Harper were the best friends, and I was just a dark, silent shadow following them around. At least Liza looked happy to see me today. "There you are! Harper's mom is going to drive us to the mall." "How come? Wasn't Bobby Pearsall's mother available?" "Ha ha! Let's go. She's waiting." I hung back. "You're really going to the mall again? We were just there on Sunday." Liza narrowed her eyes and stared at me as if she was trying to send me a coded message. "So? It's fun." "Oh, yeah, if your idea of fun is watching boys pick out jeans at Abercrombie's." Harper was studying the white crescents of her cuticles, staying out of the debate. Liza sighed. "Come on, Maggie. We'll go to the food court and get sweet potato fries." "Can we go to the bookstore?" I asked. Harper looked up. "No. When you go to the bookstore, you want to stay forever, and we have to wait for you." "Oh, like I didn't wait half an hour for you, too, to try on 50 shades of nail polish?" Lisa gave me a tight smile. "Maybe we could meet you someplace if you wanted to go to the bookstore." I shook my head. "That's okay. You guys go. I don't feel like being inside this afternoon anyway. I might go home and rake leaves." Harper rolled her eyes. "You're kidding! Rake leaves? I like doing it. It's relaxing." "So is going to the mall," Lisa said. "Don't beg her," Harper said, heading for the stairs. Liza looked disappointed. "Okay, you do your chores. Maybe you can come over tomorrow or something?" "Yeah, maybe," I said. Liza ran to catch up with Harper, which I hated to see. When had Harper become so important? Robbie Pearsall set two boxes of the weekly news flash on the table in the hallway outside the little theater where kids usually picked up their copies. I tried to be nonchalant as I sauntered over and reached into the box. Several other kids were right behind me. "This is really good issue," Robbie announced. I had the feeling he was looking at me, so I didn't look up. Actually, I almost never look at Robbie. He's the kind of person who looks at you right in the eyeballs, even if you hardly know him. It makes me so nervous. I can't think straight. "You're the editor. You have to think it's good," some eighth grader said as he walked past without grabbing a copy. "No, really. There's a new column on page 3. It's really funny." I took my skinny newspaper and stood back against the wall where I could see people's reactions without them noticing. Not that they ever noticed me anyway. This morning, though, my heart was beating so loud, I was afraid they'd look around to see where all the noise was coming from. I opened the paper to page 3, like everybody else. There it was. "Noodle Soup for Nincompoops," by Faustina Intelligentsia. "No question too stupid to answer."
"Ha! Did you read this?"
Jilly Randolph said.
"Listen,"
and she began to read my column out loud to the assembled group.
"Dear Faustidia, I am madly in love with my boyfriend, but my mother keeps calling it puppy love. I hate that. How can I get her to stop? Teenager in love. Dear teenager in love, poor you. Have you considered chewing up her bedroom slippers?" Faustidia.
As Jilly was reading the column, some kids had come up to look over her shoulder, while others stood nearby listening. They all laughed at my answer, or rather, Faustinia's answer.
"Who wrote that?"
Adam Levine asked as he grabbed a paper out of the box.
"It doesn't say,"
Patrick Devereaux, an eighth grader, was sharing a paper with his girlfriend, Ellie something or other. Here's more. He read the second letter aloud. Dear Faustinia, I'm crazy about a girl who's 2 years older than me. I lied to her about my age, but now I'm afraid she'd find out and hate me for lying to her. What should I do? Tangled web. Dear Tangled Web, well, dearie, you have two choices. Keep lying until she tells everybody what a big phony you are, or find a girl 2 years younger and let her do the lying, Faustinia Intelligentsia. The first bell rang and nobody moved. Jilly started in again, reading the last letter. Dear Faustinia, I have a crush on my sister's boyfriend, and I think he likes me too. Is it okay for me to go for it? Better-looking sister. Dear better-looking sister, sure, sweetheart, go right ahead. Of course, it's also okay for your sister to kick your butt from here to Tuscaloosa. Duh, Faustinia Intelligentsia. These are funny, Ellie said. Somebody must know who wrote them. Here's a clue, Patrick said. It says, if you have questions for Faustinia Intelligentsia, please leave them in Dr. Crisman's mailbox in the main office. So it must be somebody who's on the staff. Who wrote it, Robbie? Melissa Cross said. You must know. Robbie shrugged. It's a secret. Oh, come on, Ben Anders said. You're the editor. I don't know. Really? Mr. Crisman is the only one who knows. Everybody was talking about my column and trying to guess who'd written it. They were guessing all the obvious funny kids, the guys who can break up to the teachers, the girls whose sarcasm can drop an enemy at 50 feet. When the second bell rang, I folded up my newspaper and walked off down the hall, invisible as ever. It was wonderful. But it was frightening, too. All these kids wanted to know who I was. Now, I really didn't want them to find out, because I knew they'd be disappointed that it was just me, Maggie Clooney. It was almost impossible for Mr. Crisman to get our class to settle down. Come on, Mr. C. Who is it? Why does it have to be a secret anyway? We won't tell anybody. He smiled and shook his head. Give it up, he said. I am an excellent keeper of secrets. I turned into a piece of petrified wood, afraid to move so much as a finger, lest I call attention to myself. I didn't dare even glance at Mr. Crisman. I would think whoever's writing the column would want people to know who he is. He's good. It's not necessarily a he, Robbie, Liza said. It could be any of us. Yes, it could. Isn't a little mystery fun? Mr. C said. And now, on to the mystery of your vocabulary tests. After school, I saw little knots of kids huddled over the newsflash, laughing. Amazingly, I was a hit. Who do you think it is? Liza asked me while we were walking home. Mr. C had told me not to tell even my best friends, but I wouldn't have told Liza anyway. Her record of secret-keeping is about 12 seconds. Who do you think? I asked her back, hoping not to have to tell another out-and-out lie. At first I thought Robbie had probably written it himself. He's making such a big deal out of it. But now I don't think so. She gave me a sidewise glance. No? I picked up a yellowing leaf from the tree and studied it carefully. No? Who do you think it is? How should I know? I said. Is it you? Liza said, suddenly turning in front of me so that I had to stop walking. I was so surprised. I jumped. Me? You really think I could write something like that? I could feel the pupils jumping around in my eyes. You can be funny sometimes around me. Besides, you're all buddy-buddy with Mr. Crisman. I didn't say anything. I just stared at Lisa like she was a skunk in my path while I tried to decide how on earth to convince her. I was not Faustina Intelligentsia. It turned out silence was the right answer. Oh, don't look so shocked, she said. I guess it couldn't really be you, could it? I mean, you wouldn't do anything as outrageous as that, would you?
My silence began to heat up as we continued walking.
I mean, I wish you were Faustina Intelligentsia. That would be so cool.
And I'm not cool enough as I am? Is that what you mean?
Don't get mad about it. You're just not the kind of person who's funny in public.
She gave my arm a little punch.
It's okay. I know you're funny.
I wished I could tell her the truth, that everybody at school was laughing at my writing. But I couldn't. And it didn't seem fair that she was ragging on about me, so I said,
at least we know it isn't Harper who's writing it. I've never heard her say anything that was the least bit funny.
We stopped to pet Mrs. Grayson's collie, so we wouldn't have to talk anymore.
Mr. Crisman was ecstatic about the reaction kids were having to my column. During the next few weeks, we got 24 letters in the box. Most kids understood that the column was supposed to be a spoof, and they wrote silly questions about things like whether or not to cut their hair, or whether you could kiss on the first date. Questions Faustina could have fun with.
While I was playing with Faustina, Liza began to spend more time with Harper. Sometimes they invited me along, and sometimes they didn't, which was fine. Shopping is boring. Besides, I never really felt comfortable with Harper anyway. I missed Liza, though. I missed her a lot.
Meanwhile, the kids were still trying to figure out who Faustina was. For a while, they were evenly divided between those who thought Robbie Pearsall was writing the column and those who thought it might be Pam Ackerman, a girl with a big attitude who transferred to our school this year from a school in New York City. The idea was that anybody who lived in New York was automatically funny, although I'd personally never seen her crack a smile. Except for Liza. Nobody suspected me, not for a moment. I pretended to Mr. C. that this was great, but secretly I was getting a little depressed about it. Nobody had a clue that Faustina Intelligentsia could live inside somebody like me. Now I was always the last person to leave English class. Mr. C. would put the letters on the corner of his desk so I could whisk them up without attracting too much attention, even if he was talking with somebody. One afternoon, there was a single letter lying there. I scooped it up and dumped it in my backpack to read it when I got home. Liza and Harper had plans after school with another girl, Annie, whom I didn't know very well. So I walked home alone. It was starting to get cold now, which made me remember walking home with Liza on wintry days, how we'd put our hoods up over our ears and run until we were warmed up, then dawdle the rest of the way, as usual. By the time I got home, I'd forgotten about the letter. I did my Spanish and geography homework, then went downstairs to help Mom make potato lockies for dinner. It wasn't until 9 o'clock that I remember Faustina's letter. I dug it out of my pack, opened the envelope, and got ready to laugh. The question was neatly typed, with no errors, and run on out on a sheet of canary yellow paper. I shivered the minute I saw it. Dear Faustina, I'm having a problem with my best friend. I've made some new friends lately, and I don't think she likes them. I feel like I'm stuck in the middle between my old friend, who's sort of quiet, and the new ones who like to party. What should I do? Stuck. There was no doubt in my mind. It was from Liza. For one thing, she was a very good typist. And I happened to know that her mother kept a big stack of yellow computer paper in her desk drawer. Liza certainly had new friends who liked to party. And one old dull one. Suddenly, I felt sick to my stomach and laid out on my bed. Liza was having a problem with me. She wanted to hang out with her new friends, and I was holding her back. It never occurred to me that Liza wanted to dump me, but I could see she was asking Faustina Intelligentsia for permission to do just that. And I wondered if Liza had figured out who Faustina Intelligentsia really was. If so, she'd know that I'd know she sent the letter. We used that yellow paper ourselves lots of times. Maybe she was warning me, either go along with my new friends or get out of the way. My best friend since forever was getting ready to throw me overboard, and I was supposed to write something funny about it and publish it in the school newspaper. It was impossible. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even think about it. Except I couldn't stop thinking about it either. After an hour of dithering, I decided I wasn't going to get anything else done anyway, so I crawled into bed and turned out the light, even though I knew it was going to be impossible to go to sleep. In the dark, I started wondering what Faustina Intelligentsia would say to Liza. It was funny. I had a picture in my mind of who Faustina was, and she was nothing like me. She had wild red hair piled up on her head like a messy bird's nest, with pencils and feathers and beads all wound around it. She was about 25 years old and wore granny boots and thrift store clothes and black lipstick, and her laugh was loud enough to make everybody look at her, even in the middle of somebody as noisy as David Siegel's bar mitzvah party. She was very cool and definitely not invisible. Every time I sat down to think of an answer to the question, I imagined her putting her boots on the table and cackling over the smart-aleck answer. It wasn't that I wanted to be like her, but I really liked having her inside my head, letting me see things the way she saw them. I wonder what Mr. C would think of her. He'd probably like Faustina more than me, since she was funny and a grown-up. He probably liked red hair. When I finally fell asleep, I dreamed I lived in the custodian's closet at school. Mr. Crisman was the only person who knew I was there, and he brought me bowls of noodle soup for every meal. I didn't mind at all. When I woke up in the morning, I knew what Faustina Intelligentsia would say to Liza. Dear Stuck, what you should do, dearie, is get out of the middle. Two roads diverged and all that. You can't go both ways unless you're a real split personality. Here's the question. Do you want to end up eating noodle soup with a nincompoop? Or do you want to have a good time? Do you really have to ask? Faustina Intelligentsia. It was the right answer. Faustina was always right. The rest of that week, Liza acted the same as she always did, nice to me one minute and then running off with Harper the next, until Friday, the day the weekly news flash came out. Once again, everybody was giggling at the column. They couldn't believe they still didn't know who wrote it. I caught up with Liza as she headed into Mr. C's room for English. Got your news flash, I see. I wondered if she'd read her answer yet, if she'd take Faustina's advice. Liza turned and glared at me. Yes, I do. Her look scalded my cheeks. So, after school, do you want to... I'm busy after school, she said, flinging her half-and-half hair in my face as she turned away from me. I'm going to Harper's. She's having a party tonight. Oh, okay. But she wasn't hanging around to hear my response. She'd already had a response from Faustina Intelligentsia, and she was obviously following the advice to the letter. I couldn't concentrate very well in English. I kept sneaking looks at Liza, who had taken the seat farthest away from mine, even though it meant sitting in the front row. Could this really be happening? Would Liza really stop being my friend after all these years because of some silly newspaper column? But no, I reminded myself, she wanted to get rid of me before that. The column just gave her permission. I let Liza fly out of class before I gathered my books and trudged to the door. Mr. C gave me a big smile, and I gave him a half-hearted one in return. Then, just as I got to the door, Robbie Pearsall came up behind me and bent his head close to my ear.
"It's you, isn't it?" he whispered. "I know it is."
"What?" I was so shocked to see his grinning mouth and blue eyes so close to mine. He pulled me off to the side of the hall so we were out of the traffic flow. "You're Faustina, aren't you?" "I know it." When I still struggled to speak, he added, "Don't worry, I'm not going to tell anybody. The column is great. It's the best thing in the newsflash." I dared to glance into his eyes as they bored into mine. Finally, I found my voice. Thanks. How did you?" "Two reasons. First of all, most of the big mouths around here would have already told people if they were writing it. You aren't like that. And secondly, I saw your I Am a Camera essay. Mr. C left it on the stack of papers lying around the newspaper office, and yours was on top, so I read it. I didn't put two to two together right away, but suddenly it hit me. If there was anybody else who could write that well, I'd know about it." My mouth fell open. "I didn't think anybody would figure it out. I mean, I'm sort of an invisible around here."
"You just think you are. I've noticed you before."
Then we both turned red and looked at the floor. I wanted to run away, but the only excuse I could think of that I had to meet Liza to walk home was a lie. Finally, I said, "I should get going." Rabbi nodded. If you ever need a ride home or anything, I mean, my mom drives me and you don't live that far away."
He knew where I lived?
"I told Liza a few weeks ago that we'd give you guys a ride, but I guess she didn't tell you."
"She told me. She just didn't made it sound more like her invitation than mine."
"Actually, if your mom doesn't mind, I would kind of like a ride."
"Great," Robbie smiled as we walked to the seventh grade lockers.
We walked together, like it was the normal thing to do. I didn't hear from Liza on Friday night, but who cared? Let her go to some dumb party with Harper. Robbie called, and we talked on the phone for a while. Actually, we ran out of stuff to say to each other after about 5 minutes. So then we just sort of breathed together and laughed for another five. On Saturday, Mom offered to take me to the mall for new shoes. But I was afraid I'd run into the new best friends there. So I said I didn't feel like it. I sat at my desk doing homework and writing next week's noodle soup for nincompoops. Robbie called Saturday night and wanted to know if I could go out with him, like to the movies. I couldn't believe this was happening to me. I got so nervous. What would we talk about for the whole evening? Then I told him my mother wouldn't let me go out alone with boys yet. I don't even know if that's true. I never had to ask her about it before. He said that was okay, that maybe next weekend we could get a group of kids to go. As soon as I hung up the phone, I missed Liza terribly. It looked like I might just have my first boyfriend ever, and I didn't even have a best friend to talk to about it. Lisa would know what to say if somebody asked her to the movies. I needed her. Twice I dialed her phone number, all but the last digit, then hung up. If she didn't want to be my friend, I wasn't going to beg her. I slept late Saturday. Robbie had to work on a project for the science class, so I knew he wouldn't call until that evening. There wasn't much to do until then except to read the Sunday papers and avoid my mother's questions about who that boy was who keeps calling. Just about noon, the doorbell rang. Mom and Dad were in the backyard mulching the roses for winter, so I hauled myself off the couch and opened the door. There stood Liza, her lips pursed, her eyes blazing. I can't believe you, Maggie, she started right in yelling. Doesn't our friendship mean anything to you? After all these years, you just tell me to get out of the middle and go to parties with my new friends? You just wipe me out of your life like you're erasing a chalkboard? The anger melted off her face, and before I knew it, she was standing there with her hands over her eyes, crying. I pulled her inside the house, and she sniffed and rubbed her face on her sleeve, trying to get the mad back. Did you know it was me all along? Of course I knew. Well, not immediately, but I kept thinking about it. Who else can write that funny? And I know you and Mr. Crisman are crazy about each other, so of course he got you to do it. You thought your best friend wouldn't figure it out? If you're my best friend, why did you write that letter to me? I don't know. You've been so weird since we started hanging around with Harper. You're the one who started hanging around with Harper, she shrugged. Whatever. I wrote the letter to tell you it's hard for me that you don't like my new friends that much, and I thought it would be a funny way to do it in a letter to your column. I knew you'd know it was me because of the yellow paper and all, but I didn't think you'd say, fine, just go off with your new friends. But I thought you were saying I had to go along with all your new friends or get out of the way. I thought you were dumping me. You dumped me. You said two roads diverge and all that stuff. Her tears had finally dried up. I thought that was what Faustina Intelligentsia would tell you. You should get rid of your boring friend and hang out with the ones who want a party. It's not what I wanted you to do. Lisa stared at me, her mouth hanging slightly open. Then she took her fist and punched me on the arm. You're nuts, Maggie. You're a crazy person. You told me to go hang out with other people, even though you still want to be my best friend? Of course I do. Who else would I hang out with? She hit me again, and then we hugged each other briefly. Liza isn't really the huggy type. If you ever do anything that dumb again, Maggie Cuny, you can be best friend with Faustina Intelligentsia or the nincompoop or whoever you are at the moment. I won't, I promised as we sank down onto the sofa. So I guess this means you're stuck in the middle again? She sighed. The middle isn't so bad. At least I won't have to spend another entire weekend with Harper. Here I was all upset, and all she wanted to talk about was whether or not she should get her hair cut. I guess your weekend wasn't so hot either, huh? I smiled. Liza, you won't even believe it.